When I read the passages in the Gospels about Judas, sometimes it just makes my hair stand up a little bit. I don't like reading them. I find it challenging because I know that I myself, by my little sins and little faults, have little betrayals to our Lord Jesus. I don't want them to become larger and bigger and the betrayal of Judas. One of my priest friends was on retreat last year, and I said, how'd it go? Like, what'd you pray about? And every retreat is always pretty unique. And he said, you know, interestingly, I prayed all week with Judas. I meditated upon his actions and his apostleship, and it was really good. It was really important. I'm glad the Lord brought me there. In the stories we have about Judas at the Last Supper, of course, Jesus, he knows all the apostles better than they know themselves. And so he brings this up. One of you is going to betray me. He just throws it out there. And apparently, all the apostles, except for Judas, were surprised at this. They must not have known that Judas had this double life. I mean, of course, all of them are imperfect, but he had to have been hiding so much from both Jesus and from the brothers. They all began to say, it's not I, is it, Lord? And then Jesus says pretty clearly who it is. And what's probably happening is that, remember, John the Beloved is resting on the breast of Jesus. They recline when they eat dinners in this culture. They're not at upright tables and chairs. They're reclining with this little bench. And it's probably John who, at Peter's request, whispers to Jesus, Lord, who is it? And Jesus whispers to John alone, it's the one to whom I dip the morsel and hand it to. And they've been doing this all night, dipping morsels, dipping bread, eating, handing it to each other. So he's like, the next one is the one you'll know. And he hands the morsel to Judas. Judas receives it. And it says, at that moment, Satan entered into him. It's actually a very fascinating Eucharistic connection. One of the Psalms says, he who has eaten my bread has turned his heel against me. So here's Judas receiving the bread of life from Jesus, and he actually, at that moment, is filled with Satan and goes out to do the deed. Which Jesus says, what you're going to do, do quickly. Why does the Lord say that? He could be wanting Judas to actually just do it, and then hopefully he'll repent afterward. Like, get this over with, and then I hope you turn back. Or as one church father said, it's kind of like a taunt to Satan. When you're about to have a big tournament game and you're with your team, and you're like, come on, let's do this, get over here, do it, let's, you know, get on the field. One of the church fathers says, this is Jesus saying to Satan, what you're about to do, do it quickly. Let's get this on. I'm ready to fight you. One last time, one final time. For us this morning, a few takeaways about the person of Judas. First of all, is the lesson that there will always be Judases in the church. It was so in the beginning, it is so now. Those who are called to be very close to Jesus, but who turn away for one reason or the other. Whether it's Judas turning against Jesus for money, or whether it's those today who are Christians in name only, but do not love the Lord and actually despise the Lord. Church leaders who fail to serve the sheep, who pervert true Christian doctrine for their own ends. We shouldn't be too surprised by this, even though it's always a tragedy and a great sadness in the body of Christ. Secondly, we're given the lesson that nonetheless, God uses Judas in his plans. God brings good out of evil. God brings provident grace where sin has abounded. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. So even though this happens, and even though Jesus allows Judas to use his free will, nonetheless, God is glorified by what he does, even through this betrayal. He accomplishes our salvation even through the betrayal of Judas. It's God's will that ultimately is done for our salvation. The third lesson is that we should not become Judas. We should strive our hardest to cling to Christ faithfully, and to not let the unconverted parts of our hearts win out. We do this by, first of all, repenting frequently, easily, and often. If we repent frequently in the sacrament of reconciliation, we will be protected from the double life of Judas. We should also have Christian community, small Christian community that knows us, someone who really knows us, that we can live in the light. They see our strengths, they see our weaknesses, and we can actually engage and talk about the places where it's hard for us to follow Jesus, where we're not yet fully converted to him. You know, maybe Judas had this happening in his heart for 6 months, a year, 2 years, but he just never told Peter, James, or John about his struggle, never talked to Jesus about it, he just kept it to himself, hoping it would go away. Maybe that's what happened. And of course, to not be Judas, we also have to remember that we will suffer in this life. God has blessed us so much. He's given us a life of peace and joy and goodness deep in our hearts. But we need to remember that our lives are all pointed towards the cross. We only live with Christ because we die with him. And so we shouldn't expect that our lives in Jesus are just going to get materially in this world just better and better. We should expect for the cross to come. We should expect even to be martyred. We should expect for life to get hard and to carry the cross. Judas saw the cross coming. He saw where this was going, and he didn't like it. He didn't understand. He didn't want to understand. He wanted his own way. Well, our way is the way of Jesus, and Jesus carried the cross, and Jesus was risen. And if we remember that and hold to that, then when suffering comes, we won't try and escape it. We won't try and destroy it. We won't try and betray the Lord. We'll say, oh yeah, this is what the Lord said would happen. He said the cross would come. He said there'd be persecution. He said I would follow him as a disciple wherever he goes. Oh yeah, why am I so surprised by this? These things will keep us from becoming Judas in our own lives. May all the apostles intercede for us to cling to Christ. And even when we do fall, even when we do betray Jesus, to get up, to turn back, to seek his mercy.